Praised be Jesus and Mary. Just before the opening verse in today's first reading, St. Paul had given a list of some of the sins by which charity is wounded. So now he mentions some of the opposite virtues by which charity is preserved and exercised, adding the motive for the practice of these virtues. His counsels to us to be kind, sweet and courteous to one another, to be merciful, tender-hearted, to be forgiving and ready to pardon another's offenses. Now, of course, you don't see much of that in today's society, or on television or in the movies. But St. Paul gives us the reason why it must be this way. And it's simply because God has forgiven us in Christ. That is, through the merits of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we must be imitators of God. We heard in today's responsorial psalm, behave like God as his very dear children. God is our Father, and we are his adopted children. Therefore, we should imitate him in forgiving others as he has forgiven us. And the more that we imitate our Father, the more we're going to become like him. And as a result, the more that we're going to be loved by him. The example of Jesus giving himself up out of love for us to the death of the cross for our salvation is also given as a motive for letting charity be the animating and governing principle of our lives. St. Paul must have lived in an age very similar to our own, because from these sublime thoughts, he now descends to the very practical matter of warning his readers against sins of the flesh and works of darkness, so characteristic of a pagan world. He's just been speaking of Christian love in a positive way. And now he will speak of it negatively, by forbidding sinful love, whether sensual or avaricious, impurity, and just grasping, self-assertion were central sins of paganism. And they're condemned in all their forms. Not only are they not to be practiced, they're not even to be mentioned, he says, among Christians, who by their profession of faith are consecrated, you know, to the God of holiness and purity and justice. You know, likewise, we're to avoid all obscene and filthy language, all foolish talk about immoral things, you know, all joking in the sense of depraved humor. You know, it serves no purpose and is unbecoming. You know, on the contrary, he says, you know, that the mouths and tongues of Christians who by their profession of faith are consecrated or who, you know, their mouths and tongues should be filled with the praises of their Creator and their Redeemer, you know, in thanksgiving for all of His gracious gifts. And next, St. Paul goes on to mention various sexual sins and the inordinate lovers of material wealth who make a god of their money. He says that since these sinners serve illicit and perishable things in preference to the true God, then they must perish with them instead of sharing the rewards of the elect of heaven. You know, we're also warned not to be deceived and led into error by vain or empty arguments regarding the sins that he's just condemned. For because of those very sins, the punishment of God visits all who disobey and disregard his teachings as contained in the gospel. And today you hear many of those vain and empty arguments. You hear accusations of being judgmental or being guilty of hatred because you want to warn people that they're on the wrong path. You know, our motive is love, not hatred. And St. Paul does end on a positive note, you know, by reminding us that we are in the light of the Lord, he says. You know, in other words, we possess the truth of Jesus and live in union with him who said, "I am the light of the world." You know, therefore, our lives should be in conformity with the knowledge and grace that we have received.